It's That Podcast, recording live from Studio B in Strawberry Blonde Studios. It's That Podcast, featuring Joe Lindholm and Jason Shirley. I digress. Hello, Brent.
You fret. You got a 10-pound shunk and a 5-pound bat.
It's a good man, the community. Sup, ha! Tell him your name sent you.
A3.
Live from Studio B, it's That Podcast, featuring Joe. I digress. And Jason.
Hello, Brent. Give me some of that dogger. This up, please. I'll make it enough. Sup, ha!
And tell him your
it's
name sent you. Sent
you. Live from Studio B in Strawberry Blonde Studios. It's That Podcast.
Recording live from Studio B in Strawberry Blonde Studios. It's That Podcast, featuring Joe Lindholm and Jason Shirley. I digress.
Hello, Brent. Hey, Fred. You got a 10-pound shunk and a 5-pound bat.
It's a good man, good man, community.
Sup, ha! Tell him your name sent you.
A3.
Live from Studio B, it's That Podcast, featuring Joe. I digress. And Jason.
Hello, Brent. Welcome to episode 5 of It's That Podcast. I'm your host, co-host, Joe Lindholm, along with Jason Shirley.
Hello, friend.
Hello, friend. So we hope you enjoyed our Blossom episode. I thought it went fine. It was cathartic. It was fun to do. Something a little different than our usual formula that we've been doing.
Get back to the sports-a-roo.
That's right. Why, you athletes, why don't you stick to sports?
As if they don't have a viewpoint or whatever. I guess that's one of the dumbest arguments on Twitter, right?
It is.
Isn't it? Like the, I can't remember who said it, but the LeBron James stick to dribbling or whatever that.
Yeah. Asshat.
Asshat said. Yeah. Fuck that. Really?
The Blossom episode did get a lot of response from the listeners, Joe. And
good.
The number one question was, what started that? I kind of feel like something happened and you guys just broke out.
Yeah.
And what was the origin? And I'll be honest, I don't know.
I don't know either. No, it just kind of rotated that way, you know? Maybe because all the Gary Vee I watch.
Perhaps.
That could be it. But
and you've got me on that as well.
Yeah. Yeah, Gary Vee's my... If you don't know Gary Vaynerchuk, go to... on YouTube, just search Gary Vee. Gary Vee. And his stuff is super motivational, super forward-thinking. Like, he rarely thinks in the now. He almost always is forward-thinking of what's coming next. It's a very good listen and a very good watch. He's very entertaining. He's very frank. His language is very frank.
Are there a lot of fucks that he has, Joe?
He has none.
He has none to give.
Much like myself, none. So,
and if that's foreign to you folks, go back and listen to
episode 4.
Yeah,
go back to episode 4. You may enjoy that one. I said a lot. That's all right. It is what it is.
It is what it is, Joe.
That's right. So let's get back to the meat.
Yes, sir.
The meat of it instead of the salad,
well,
so to speak.
We normally start in the NFL. Is there anything that jumps out at you immediately that you'd like to tell me about?
The fact that Shaq Griffin did 20 bench presses basically with one arm. I mean, he has two arms, obviously, but with a hook thing on his hand, because he doesn't have a hand on his arm. He did 20 presses at 220. And is, as a comparison, the best wide receiver, who is Kevin White's little brother, did 22.
I'm sorry, Kevin White is...
He's the guy the Bears drafted a while ago.
When?
You may have heard of him. What? He may. Yeah. Anyway.
Okay.
And there's all these pictures of him, but have you seen these on Twitter?
Oh, yeah.
Of him just ripped to the nines.
Sure.
And you can be as ripped as possible, but if somebody sneezes on you and you break your leg...
Three times.
Right. It's not... I don't care how ripped you are. Doesn't matter.
Got it.
You got to be on the field, brother. Get out there. Get out there and play. That's all we care about. Like, I don't care how muscular you are and how... Completely, you know, you have not a 6-pack, but you got a 12-pack on your whatever. I don't give a shit.
Like, right.
Play. Please just play.
Well, that's all I'm asking. If he gets released this year, then he can bounce at some bar somewhere.
Sure. Yeah. He could go maybe go into bodybuilding or something. Maybe go bounce at a Morgantown bar somewhere.
Cash money, homie.
That's right. It's all about the loot, as some wise man once told me. So that's my NFL viewpoint. It's coming. The draft is coming up. The problem is now it's all just speculation.
Oh, it's so dumb.
It's just like...
It's so dumb.
You know, should the Bears... I mean, the Bears, there's much shorter list as who the Bears shouldn't take. You know, they shouldn't take a quarterback, right? I was going to say don't take a running back, but if there were rumors...
Oh, there were rumors.
Of trading Jordan Howard in a pick for Jarvis Landry in a pick, and that doesn't make any sense to
me.
It
does not make any sense to me. Unless you know of somebody coming out of college that's going to fill Howard's shoes immediately. Yeah. Because Tariq Cohen, 30 carries in a row, and that guy's dead.
Yes. Yeah. And one other thing that popped in my head, the transition tag on Kyle Fuller.
I was coming to that.
It to say I was angry when I saw that is an understatement.
Why?
Because you didn't pick up his option.
Correct.
Which means you didn't want him.
Well, you do want him.
Well, you didn't.
You don't want him at his price.
Right. But here's the thing. His price is a hell of a lot less than the transition tag price. The transition tag, is it like $12 million? It's some outrageous amount of money.
All right. And this is where I need to sit down at the feet of the master.
Yeah.
Transition tag, in my understanding,
yes,
is any team that offers Fuller money, the Bears essentially have the right to match.
Correct.
It.
Or they can just go, fuck it.
Right.
Hit the
so he's like an unrestricted free agent in other sports.
It'd be like a restricted free agent. A restricted free agent in other sports.
I digress.
So like if some dumb team comes along and offers him $10 million a year, the Bears can go, see ya.
See ya.
Right. But if they don't, then they have to sign him at the transition tag. If nobody comes.
I think they would have signed him anyway.
Yeah.
The issue there is number of years.
And quite frankly, the price is just way too high.
Well,
he's not that good.
He's had a half a year that was that good.
Right. Yeah, and yes, I'll agree with you there. He had half a year. But that, you know, in the long term, and the Bears have the cap space to maybe overpay for him to keep him.
Right.
For 1 year.
Mm-hmm.
But I'd really rather have that money spent on like a defensive lineman or two, or a linebacker or two, or... Yeah, maybe a defense would be good. We could do that.
Well, hey, man.
A safety.
You keep saying that, but that defense was a top 10 defense last year.
It was, but look at all the people they lost. Freeman's gone. Will Young's gone.
Yeah.
Trayton's still there. Fuller will still be. But the defensive, they were a top 10 defense last year.
Right.
I mean, they were probably 9 or 10.
But this is what I'm going to point to there, is they had a lot of depth last year.
They did.
Because they had a lot of injuries.
Yes.
And there are guys that were let go that might not have played this year because
and there's no
other people were healthy.
And not only that, but they could still go out and get him. Maybe they just didn't like him at the price.
Right.
You know, maybe they can get a Will Young a little cheaper or whatever. He can come back. I mean, there are options, obviously.
And that's kind of where I was thinking with Kyle Fuller is they'll say, hey, go test the market, brother. If you can pull that in,
great.
More power to you. Otherwise, you're going to get $12 million from us with this transition tag.
Right. Like we'll pay you this. And if you can go get at any value.
Right.
If you can get anything, get paid, son, and we'll, whatever, that's fine. But at the same point, it's here for you if you want to stick around. We will pay you, I guess. Like, that's what kind of, all right, I guess we'll pay you. But if you really want to go somewhere else, you probably should go somewhere else. You know what I'm saying?
Now, you mentioned what the Bears wouldn't need. And it immediately made me think of other teams and being fat at a position where they would not have to look for somebody new.
Yeah.
And immediately I thought of the Minnesota Vikings.
Yeah, it's
I've
so
got
funny.
Three quarterbacks that could possibly start. And what am I going to go and try to trade for?
And we were one game away from the Super Bowl.
Right.
Let me think for a minute. Hold on. I know. Let's go get Kirk Cousins.
Oh, my God.
Like, you have three quarterbacks.
You did.
Now, this comes down to a question of, okay, because Pat Shurmur left.
Right.
Do the higher-ups of the Vikings think that it was a system and that these three guys were that good because of the system? And the new offensive coordinator is going to change that?
You know as well as I do that if you've got the people under Pat Shurmur staying, you run that system. The Bears' defense was outstanding the year after Lovie Smith left because they didn't change a thing.
Correct.
They had the same personnel. Ran the same system.
Yep.
And that offense was awesome.
Yeah.
I mean, because Trestman was at the helm and the offense sucked so bad.
Right.
They didn't do as well.
True. But I mean, like the Vikings.
But I digress.
Yeah, but the Vikings are just, like, what are you going to do? You have, I mean, like we said, you have three quarterbacks.
Yeah.
Now, is Teddy Bridgewater's injury that bad? Is Sam Bradford's injury that bad? And you turn Case Keenum into fucking Bart Starr. Like, what? Turn him into Brett Favre. I mean, what?
Well, in talking to my friend, Mr. Viking,
he
told me that essentially what they were looking for is to get Cousins and pay Bradford backup money as an insurance policy.
Okay.
Thinking that he would take that.
Right.
And his speculation was that Teddy Bridgewater
aces
not going to take backup money.
No.
And then after the year that Keenum had.
I mean, with the amount of bad quarterbacks in the NFL.
Right.
I mean, you got to think that at least Bridgewater could get a gig somewhere. Bradford probably could too, but.
Right. Now, have you seen this? Have you heard this, Joe?
See what? Hear what?
The speculation is that Bridgewater goes to Jacksonville.
I could see that.
Even though they just signed Bortles for that dough. Right.
Yeah.
You can be a really highly paid backup, my friend.
Yeah. Blake Bortles?
No.
No.
They're serviceable, and then there's, my God, I hope this doesn't crash.
Here's the exact way I'll put this. Jacksonville's recent successes have nothing to do with Blake Bortles.
Right.
Right?
Nothing. No, that's absolutely correct.
Nothing. It's getting Fournette, right, and that defense. It proves the age-old, no matter how quarterbacky this league gets, if you can run the football and play defense, you can just get a guy
right
that won't fuck things up when you're quarterbacking, right?
Right.
And you can be successful in the NFL. You can do it.
I'm a new school guy, Joe. Right. You don't run the football that right. much. You throw it around.
I get it.
And that's what gets butts in the seats.
And the running backs are getting just completely hammered in the draft. You know, you can get a running back, a decent one, third, fourth round. Now you don't have to spend the first round pick, really. You know.
Think about the NFL that you and I watched in the late 70s, early 80s.
Oh, yeah.
You would have a stud running back,
yep.
a fullback.
Yes.
And rarely a change of pace back. You might have a third down guy. You might have a Dennis Gentry.
Yes, correct. A pass catching running back.
Right.
Yeah.
And you had a wide receiving core.
Correct.
Now it seems like that's flipped upside down, and we're looking for a key big wide receiver that's going to get the majority of the looks.
Right.
And then a core of running backs.
And it's the rare quarterback. A rare running back like Leonard Fournette, for example.
Right.
That is able to just come in.
A workhorse.
And just crush it. Right. And to Jacksonville's credit, they kind of had to, right?
They had nothing else.
Because Blake Bortles sucks.
Right.
So okay, we have to have some kind of offense. We have to score points somehow. I know, let's give it to this kid who just tore up everything in college football.
That's what made the Ram look so good, too. I mean, Goff had such a productive year because... Yeah.
Todd Gurley's the man.
He is the man.
So, I mean, and you had McVay come over and give them the offensive insight that they needed, that Goff needed, and to maybe a certain extent Gurley needed too, but he had that offense balanced and ready to go. And
I think balance is the right word there.
Yeah. Yeah. And you can't, I understand the days of having a Hall of Fame running back, you know, like a Barry Sanders or Walter Payton are over. But you got to have at least a guy.
And Jordan above Howard. Average.
Jordan Howard's that guy.
He's a guy.
The beef against Jordan Howard there's two. One, his outside speed kind of sucks, and he can't catch a football.
Yes.
Which in modern NFL.
His blocking is better than his catching.
Absolutely. In the modern NFL, that is almost a death warrant.
It really is.
If you can't get outside and you can't catch a football, that could be your downside. But. I think with the right receivers and the right system for Trubisky, Howard can definitely succeed in that and have him be the Leonard Fournette, have him be the between the tackles, north-south guy that you need. I just cringed every time I saw Jordan Howard trying to run a sweep. It just broke my heart almost, right? I was like, why are you doing this?
If you're going to pitch it, get Cohen in there.
Play act, right.
Give a guy that's got maybe one step.
But then you tip the defense off, obviously. If you see Cohen out there, okay, you know it's going outside.
Right? That's true.
I mean, to a
certain extent, he throws it. He threw a touchdown last year, Joe.
He did. My guy. He had a better quarterback rating than a lot of quarterbacks. Right?
Than Mike Glennon, certainly.
Correct. Didn't Earl Bennett also throw a touchdown, too?
Oh, he did.
Right? Yeah.
So did Brian Urlacher.
Oh, man. My guy.
All right.
By the way, it's Hall of Famer.
It is Hall of Famer.
I mean, technically not inducted yet, but Hall of Famer, Brian Urlacher, sir.
Well played.
That's right.
All right. Let's move on to the MLB.
Okay.
And spring training is upon us.
Yes, it is. Full swing.
The grass is getting greener down here at Studio B. We've seen 60-degree days, which provides the promise of spring.
Yes, it does. And Tommy loves it.
Don't you?
He loves, he's nodding his head. He loves it. Yeah, the jogging out in the warmth, he loves it. That's his thing. So, yeah, for sure.
The problem is, and I'm going to put my nerd hat on here.
Okay.
Our fantasy baseball draft
nerd.
Has already happened.
It has.
And I'm not, in the spring, I like to look forward to that. I like to kind of monitor spring training. I want to see injuries. Yeah. I want to see if there's any late trades.
Yeah.
I want to see all of these things before mm-hmm. I go in and make my draft.
Yes.
Because of scheduling, we did what we did.
Correct. Right.
It was still fun.
Absolutely.
I enjoyed it.
Had a great time.
I like my team.
Mm-hmm. I do too.
I wish I could have gotten Ian Happ, although it's probably going to be okay that I didn't.
So you're saying you happened not to get Ian
Happ. Oh!
Zinger. Just kidding. Anyway.
Hey now.
Hey now.
Yeah. So I guess that's where I'm at. Spring training. I'm excited about it.
Me too.
Enjoy watching it.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean a thing.
Damn thing.
It doesn't mean a damn thing.
And the thing is, like yesterday for the beloved Sox, Louis Robert, or however you pronounce his last name, Robert, that guy.
Let's say that.
Grand slam to win the game.
Nice.
Well, it wasn't walk off, but it was in the top of the ninth on the road team. Yeah, man.
Well,
it was pretty sweet. It was cool to see him. And he's, you know, he played center field for the first time yesterday.
That's cool to see.
They sent down Charlie Tilson. He's already gone. He's already sent down to Charlotte in minor league camp. He could be the center fielder.
All right.
And the thing that I need to research about it is because he was a foreign player, does the 6'7", do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like the 6'7" rule apply to him, like what the Cubs did with Chris Bryant, like the Sox did with Moncada last year, where if he stays down long enough, then you get an extra year of control.
It will.
Does that apply to him because he's a foreign free agent?
It does apply to him, but it's a longer term
that
he has to stay in the minors.
Okay. I'll have to, yeah.
I'll research. I'll give you exact numbers next week, John.
Yeah, we will dig that up for you, our listener. We'll research that. But I'm just curious, because if it doesn't apply to him, and he's down there just killing it, which he is, why not put him in center field?
Exactly.
Right?
Get the experience.
And just
learn on the job.
And throw him the fire. He's got Abreu there to help him, and Moncada's there to help him. I don't understand why you necessarily wouldn't.
And I'm not trying to leave the Sock universe at this point, the Grand Slam made me think of my friend Aloysius Almora Jr.
Your guy crushed.
That made him 2 for 20. He's had a single blast and a Grand Slam, and then 0-4 spring training.
Yeah, that homer last night was a bomb.
Yeah, let's hope that's been unlocked, because kid's defense is uncomparable, unparalleled.
He's probably the best outfielder they have.
Absolutely. Best defensive outfielder they have, and we know that Hayward's no slouch.
And defensive per dollar.
Yes.
I think Almora's much bigger ratio.
Well played, but can you afford to have Hap's bat out of there if he's not subbing for A. Baez or B. Zobrist?
It's a good problem to have.
Yeah.
If you're the Cub, because you'd rather have him on your team than not, but at the same point, you're going to underutilize one of those two guys, right?
Right.
Almora's,
and what's more important to you, a batter defense?
And Almora just kills lefties.
Yeah.
So you can
platoon.
But the,
that would be ideal.
Yeah, but that means Almora only plays once a week, maybe twice a week, maybe.
Right.
And with his defense, in some bigger parks, that may be an advantage to play him out there, like Arizona or Colorado. Let him play the outfield out there in those bigger stadiums.
Not the band box in Cincinnati.
Definitely not the band box in Cincinnati, or Wrigley with the wind blowing out.
Correct.
Or, like, that's another thing. That's another myth, by the way, that I would love to dispel.
Please.
Which I can. I can go back and find the actual data from The Physics of Baseball, the book by Robert K. Adair, by the way, which I recommend highly. About nerd. Oh, man, that's like nerd. It's super nerd.
James Lindholm.
Super nerd. But Wrigley Field is not necessarily a bandbox. We should clarify that. The way the winds are set up in Chicago, if it's coming out of the north, that place, for every, I'm not going to say what it is. I'll look it up. I have the book at home. But there's a decided cut down on the distance, obviously, with physics, of how far the ball travels when the wind's blowing in. It's like something along the lines of, for every 5 miles an hour, it's 10 feet less that it flies, or something like that. I'll have to look up the actual number. But place, when the wind's blowing in, is almost a pitcher's park.
It really is.
You know, and with the wind blowing out, obviously, we've seen what happens at Wrigley with the wind blowing out.
But again, it depends which way is it blowing. Right. I mean, it's never going to be the band. I'm not going to say bandbox again for Fenway, but the short porch in right field in Fenway
right.
is always there.
Correct. It's, and the monster, the monster's always there.
Well, right. Yeah.
And the monster's only 315 down the line. I mean, it's pretty short, but it's just tall. That's correct. All. But you can always hit it off the monster, but that's always there.
Or you can pop it up to the track.
Correct. You can, right, a pop up that's easily caught at Wrigley or Guaranteed Rate Field or whatever. It's a home run.
There. I'm sorry, where?
Yeah, the G spot.
Ah, yeah. Thank you, there you for are. That.
Yeah, that's right. Pass it every time I work downtown. It looks lovely. Does by it? Lovely, I mean it's just a ballpark.
It's just a yeah. place.
There's so many things they could have done better with it. I mean, it's certainly better now than what it was when they first built it. Like yeah. they've added on that fundamental thing in left field, and they cut down the upper deck, and mm-hmm. it looks a lot better than it certainly did. It's aging well, but you could have started out with, I mean, the stadium before this one was Camden.
Yeah,
right. It was Orchard right. Park Camden. Like that was.
That was the last of the smalls,
and you could have done something like that,
right?
At you know, on the south side, but no, they just did just the regular plain Jane.
Cookie. All right, I'm going to call almost shenanigans on you, Joe.
Okay,
we're going to have to go to the tail of the tape for this. I wanted to say that the G spot,
yes,
was the last of the big mall type parks, and that Camden was the first of the smaller old timey.
I think. Well, my point was, I think that.
It was around the same time.
That Reinsdorf could have changed it.
Okay. He could have been the first one to change it.
Or he could have been, at least make something equal to, I mean, he had to have seen pictures of Oriole Park. Like, he had to have known how good it was going to look.
Right.
Like
you love Pittsburgh.
I love that park.
I mean, that's the same era.
PNC, well, PNC's a little later, but PNC is not much different. The reason I like PNC is the view. Like, the dynamic of seeing the park.
Right.
And then the stands, and then the beautiful skyline. I mean, like, Pittsburgh isn't a big city.
No.
It really isn't. I mean, you blink, you're through it, right?
Right.
It's not like Chicago that takes forever to get through or whatever.
Sure.
But I think they could have definitely tried, at least, to encapsulate some of the city of Chicago into that park. And they really didn't. I mean, at the time, it faced Robert Taylor Homes.
Right.
Before they knocked them down, they're not there correct. Anymore. But public housing is what it faced.
Mm-hmm.
You had an opportunity to build it kind of the same direction facing as Old Comiskey Park, which would have pointed towards downtown and given you a possible view of the city. Because the view of the city from the best view in that park is from the ramps.
Yeah,
the pedestrian ramps.
No. Yeah,
especially on the third base side, which are facing north. Like, you can stand there, and the view of the city, especially at night, is beautiful. It's a gorgeous view of the city. And that's something they could have incorporated, and they didn't. And I don't know if that's a regret of Jerry's or...
You don't have any insight on why that happened that way.
No, I don't. Okay. But it is what it is. And it's, like I said before, it's improved a lot. Is it great? No. Is it a destination park? Probably not. But it certainly isn't as crappy as people make it out to be.
And I'm going to Pinocchio's head on this one. Okay. But I've never had a bad time
there. No. And the food's great.
It is.
The food's way better there than at Wrigley. So, and I've never had a bad time at a Sox game ever. So, yeah. But I'm looking forward to baseball. And quite frankly, all the arguments of who should play and who shouldn't play for the White Sox this year, moot. It doesn't matter. It literally does not matter. Next year is when it matters.
Right.
2019 is when it matters.
Well, that's what we're saying now.
Yeah.
But look at recent history. The Cubs were a year early.
They were?
The Astros weren't a year early.
No,
who
else was pretty much on target. And the Cubs, to the Cubs' benefit, though, they went out and signed Lester because they knew they were close.
Right.
And Theo knows, and I'm sure that Rick Hahn has picked up on it, that you got to make that one move for that one big thing that's the difference.
Your piece.
Right. Sox aren't there yet because they don't know what the puzzle quite looks like. Like, right. Third base is still kind of, what are you going to do there?
Talk to me about the Moustakas rumors that you had me all excited about a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah, no. Now I hear Boris said the other day that Moustakas, they're willing to hold him out till after the draft. So that no team has to lose a pick.
Oh, okay. That would make him more attractive.
Easier to sign.
And he's at Camp Boris right now.
He is at, well, that's going to, that whole camp thing for all that's going to end soon,
right?
And I think tomorrow's the last day of the one that all the players association did.
I was going to say, do you want to break that down for the people that might not know?
Okay, so what happened was because of all the lack of signings this offseason, right?
And we talked about that, I want to say episode 3.
We talked about episode 3 where
the log jam, correct, where people don't want to pay player prices. They want to play club prices because of next year.
Correct. They don't want to pay it this year.
Right.
They want, everybody's trying to save their money for next year with Machado and Kershaw.
Harper.
And Harper and Donaldson and all these guys. So,
yeah.
So they're waiting.
Next year is going to be huge.
Yeah. You think it's going to be the opposite of this year. So, so back to that. So you've got all these players that are good, like Arrieta's still out there, Moustakas, a couple others.
Right, but it's not like, I'm not going to pay Mike Moustakas, Josh Donaldson money.
And the vast majority of these people are,
but because
like,
they're the only ones available, right, they would typically get that money.
Correct. And the majority of the people that are in this camp that the MLBPA ran
are my grandma.
Are like 4A players, like AAA
they're
guys.
Yeah.
They're like your 24th guy, you know, but there's still some studs out there, right?
Well,
ish. But all the studs that are with Scott Boras are not at this camp. They're at Scott Boras's camp.
That's what I was alluding to.
So it's kind of weird. Like the MLBPA, like they had their executives coaching it for the most part, right?
Right.
Ex-players, like Brian Jordan is a coach there and a couple other people. And so, and they like cut off the press. Like they won't let the press come and look or anything. Like
it's a little weird.
It's yeah. I understand the need for it on their end of it.
Sure.
For the players to,
you want these guys to be ready when you decide that you want them.
Yeah. When the flag comes, it's time to go. When the green light goes, it's time to, we got to go. We got to go, 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 go. They got to be ready to go. They can't be, I need to go down to extended spring training because I'm not, no, they got to be ready to go.
Right.
But all that's going to end, I believe I saw on Twitter the 9th of March. So that's, as we're taping this, today's the 8th. It's going to end tomorrow.
Okay.
So it's going to be interesting to see what happens from here. Like, who are these guys going to sign with?
Now, this is unprecedented.
Yeah.
I mean, because there was never a quote-unquote Camp Boras before where the elite players would hang out.
Right.
This happened one other time that I know of, and it was the strike year.
Yep.
And that MLBPA group, I mean, we're talking Vince Coleman. We're talking Dave Otto. We're talking...
Side note, not to interrupt your conversation.
No,
Dave
please.
Otto, one of the tallest people I've ever seen in person.
Really?
He is ginormous. I used to live in Wheaton, Illinois. There's a bar I used to go to, and the bar I used to go to has...
Hello.
It has like walkways, archways, like doorways, right? With no doors on them. They're just kind of whatever.
Okay.
And he had to crouch to get through them.
Wow.
Like he had to literally crouch down and then like dip his head to get...
So you're telling me you're waiting for the train, it's raining, you're standing next to him under his mustache to stay dry.
Yes, absolutely. Just go, can you... That's good right there.
Perfect. Exactly.
And one other side note, the complete opposite of that,
mm-hmm.
at the same bar, Darren Pang was there one night.
The Panger!
Yeah, from the NHL, for those of you who don't know. He's an analyst on NHL, he played with the Hawks. He's about 5'0". He's pretty short. He was up to my shoulder, basically, and I'm about 5'10". So,
wow.
He's 5'5", maybe.
Tom Cruise-ish.
And I look down at him like, fucking Darren Pang. And then he orders a drink. He was drinking Johnny Walker.
Of course.
Of course, because he's Darren Pang.
Right.
And I'm like, I heard of the voice. And the voice is
dead
put
on.
Two and two together. And it's, it's fucking Darren Pang.
Right.
So I'm like, hey. And it was during the first lockout.
Okay. So you said, hey, nice mullet.
That's right. No, but we were just talking. We just shot the shit briefly. I didn't want to bother him. I don't like to do that to people I don't know.
Big fan.
Yeah, just point, big fan, that's it.
Buzz Kilman style.
No autograph, no picture, nothing. Just enjoy your work. Acknowledge their existence. That's it.
Keep moving.
He's got stuff to do, you got stuff to do. But I digress.
All right, back to that first...
the first camp.
That first camp. Otto was telling this story the other day, and he said that it got down to the end, and everybody had been picked up that was going to be picked up. And it was him, Vince Coleman... And I apologize, I don't know the third guy. Anyway, they show up the last day. Nobody's there. The entire camp, people had, you know, come, they wanted autographs, it was great. It was like kind of like a major league spring training type situation.
Yeah.
They get there the last day, no one's there. Coleman sees that and goes, I'm out. Turns around, just leaves, goes home.
Yeah.
And Otto and the other guy play catch, like for the amount of time that they were supposed to be there. And then they left. And his career was over.
They felt obligated. <I
know. laughs> And we're done.
And seen out.
And we're the worst out. Part about that whole thing is the Orioles actually offered Otto a contract, and he said he wouldn't be a scab. He said, I'm sorry, I'm not going to break, you know, what the union has going. Yep. I'm going to go and do this instead. And they're like, all right, well, whatever. We've signed you. You either have a major league contract or a minor league contract. Goes and does the camp. Camp's over. Calls the Orioles and says, hey, where do I report? And they go, yeah, nowhere.
Nowhere.
We changed our mind.
Yeah, we'll see.
We've got all our people now. We'll thanks.
See. That's right. That's right, buddy.
Ouch. And it's just, yeah, it's a business show.
Right. And the thing is, the guys that are all free agents right now, they could sign.
Right.
Right?
Sure.
Arrieta could sign. You know, those guys could, all of them could sign. But they just don't want a minimum. They don't want to sign for what the owners are willing to pay them.
And that brings up an interesting concept to me, Joe.
Yeah.
There's a lot of guys out there in sports that will bet on themselves. And they'll take a
for
one,
sure.
They'll take a one-year yeah. contract to prove yep. I've still got it.
Right.
Next year when everybody, when the money's going to get a little looser yep. and comes around.
Rich Hill is one example.
Oh, Jesus. Don't talk to me about Rich Hill and his blisters.
I'm just saying.
That guy was a bum. And then all of a sudden, the Dodgers throw him out there. And it's like, Rich freaking Hill?
Oh, he sells blisters.
He was an all-star last year.
He sells blisters.
That's ridiculous.
I know. I agree. But I'm just saying that, like, I'm just using an example of a guy.
Yeah, yeah.
Who would just sign one year, keep betting on himself, and then finally get a deal.
And Dexter Fowler did it.
Yes, he did. True. You're right. And that's something that more players probably should be willing to do now.
All right.
Right?
I agree.
Like, why didn't Arrieta sign like a 1-year deal for $15 million or something? Right?
It had to have been there for him. And going back to this, and this is all speculation, apparently they went to Arrieta and said, listen, we're going to offer Darvish X amount of dollars. If right. he turns us down, you'll get that money.
Right.
And Arrieta said, go pound sand. I'm right. not going to be anybody's second choice.
Correct.
I'm going to go out and make that money somewhere else and get the years I want.
Right. And the Cubs went,
okay.
See ya. Good luck.
Bless your heart.
Good luck, kid.
Yeah.
I mean, and Darvish signed for less money than everybody thought he was going to, too.
He absolutely did.
So, I mean, it's a matter of...
And you know what's funny, though?
Right.
I'm sitting at home, and you call me on the phone and say, right. hey, 6 years, $126 million.
Right.
And we're calling that less money.
Yeah,
and we're not calling even, that affordable.
Right. And not even getting, like there was no negotiation.
None.
Right?
It's Here's
just,
my dollars.
It's just the Cubs just came in and said... 5 years, 6 years, whatever, $126 million. Like, that's it. I mean, like, if they called Arrieta and said that, like, there's no, I don't know this to be true, but I mean, like, I can't imagine that Boris didn't go, is there any room here? Can we talk or anything?
I don't know.
We don't know the answer to that.
He's got to be the worst agent to deal with in sports.
From the management standpoint.
Correct.
Yeah. If you're a player.
As a player, he's got your fights for you.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
he's gonna get you try to get you top dollar,
wait, will he call a press conference so Terrell Owens can sit and do sit ups in front of the press?
Correct.
Will yes. he do that?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
well, that's my guy. Then.
He'll do that. But I mean, it's a matter of okay. Again, we're getting it's March. Like I said, we're taping today. It's March 8th. We're getting close to the start of season. I mean, Arrieta's gonna have to get paid this season. I mean, he's in his. I don't say he's in his prime because it's probably not correct.
He can't afford to burn a
he's
year.
He's in his prime earning
right.
stages. You can't afford to sit out a year.
Right.
So you can't tell me that somebody isn't going to throw him a one-year bone for like $18 million, $20 million
He
for
should
one
be
year?
Able to have his pick of playoff teams to do that with, too.
One would think.
And we're sitting here, again, it's way early. This may still all happen.
Yes.
I mean.
He could still get a five-year deal for whatever. And the thing is that also, like, but the problem is all the playoff teams. Or all the teams that are saving money.
No. I hear you. Right? What I'm thinking of, though, is I'm thinking it's more likely that he's going to take a year deal somewhere.
I got to think.
Yeah.
At this point.
Yeah.
I mean, like, his options are pretty limited. The Brewers.
Get the biggest check you can for a year.
The Brewers can
oh
come along
God.
And
Don't
go,
talk to me about the Brewers.
I'm just saying.
I'm worried,
like,
dude.
That could, you should be. Especially if they get Arrieta. You
That's
should
coming.
Be. Yeah. They're
That's coming.
Man. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Because they obviously improve their hitting with Kane and Yelich. I mean, they improve their hitting. Now it's a matter of, okay. We don't really have a lot of pitching. We have some decent, but nothing. And we don't have a guy.
Right.
And Arrieta could be that guy. But knowing the Brewers, they're trying to be on the cheap.
Right.
But I got to think that this investment in Arrieta would pay dividends back in terms of increased attendance, et cetera, et cetera. One would think.
Right.
So, I don't know.
Although Miller Park is really north,
it kind of is.
It is not the G spot where if you're winning, people still don't come.
Correct.
Ouch.
Yeah.
So that takes us to the NBA, Joe.
Do it.
Tanking. We talked about this a little bit last time, it has not gone away.
No, and it's gotten more publicly worse, if that's a thing. That's a phrase to use.
I mean, this is something that we've talked about for years. Yeah. Everybody knows it happens. Everybody knows it goes on.
Right.
But this is the first time that the number of teams that are trying to do it has really exposed it to the average fan.
Yeah.
Why am I going to go if I know my team wants to lose?
Correct. Right. And Cuban made some comments, apparently. He got fined $600,000.
Oof.
I mean, for him, that's nothing.
It's a lot of dosh, though.
It's less for us.
Yeah.
Like, we would probably do a lot of bad things for $600,000.
All right. So to me, that's what, $60?
Right.
Okay.
Yeah. For him, it's like $60, whatever. Right. But it's a matter of, okay, there's a fine line in that these owners, now granted, they make a lot of money. Don't get me wrong. Like, everybody bitches about player salaries. I think I said this before in a different episode, but everybody bitches about the player salaries. Dude, the owners are making that much.
Well,
the owners are making like 50, like, even if you split it 50-50, the owner gets 50% of all the revenue, and 13 or 15 players on the NBA roster have to split $50 million in revenue. So if you think a $20 million contract for an NBA player is a lot of money, how much money is the owner making? Right?
Yeah, but let's be real with this.
Yeah.
The NBA is the most generous league as far as that goes.
Correct. Because
the NFL, billions of dollars.
Yeah.
Those guys
don't get dick.
No. And or right. They don't get, there's no security.
There's no guaranteed contracts.
There's no insurance.
Nope.
There's nothing. I mean, the NBA, and correct me if I'm wrong, but let's say I'm the starting forward for the Indiana Pacers. Okay. I don't know why that would happen, but let's just say that's it.
Of course.
I have relations with a young lady, and we have a spawn.
Yes.
That young person.
Yeah.
Has lifetime insurance through the NBA because I was an NBA player.
As far as I know, that's correct. And the MLB is the same way.
That is, the MLB's that
way. I believe so.
Okay, I thought the NBA was the only organization that did that, but
no,
that's outstanding.
I believe even there's a certain amount of games you have to play to qualify, but I know an ex White Sox, believe it or not, pitcher.
Is it Whiskey? Is it Neil Kotz?
I wish. That's my guy. He was left-handed, though. And he said that he has lifetime insurance through the MLBPA.
Well, he does.
His family does. Okay. Him and his family.
Everybody involved. But I guess what I'm going back to is they don't need to be married to me. They just need to be able to prove that is my offspring.
I believe so.
And they have insurance.
You're correct. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, all right.
Yeah, and back to tanking for a minute. So it came down that Silver kind of ripped into the Bulls a little bit and warned them.
They were warned.
They got a warning, not the $600,000 fine that came down on Mark Cuban, but they got warned. And they were told, okay, you got to play your guys. Like, this is bullshit.
You're not really this bad.
Correct. And this comes to the argument of these owners pay literally any franchise that's going to sell anytime soon billions of dollars for these teams. Should they be allowed to run them any way they want? Right? For example, let's go back to MLB for a minute.
Yeah.
The ownership team led by Derek Jeter that bought the Marlins.
Yes.
They sold off everybody.
For free.
For nothing.
It was a fire sale.
And I
we talked white flag trade?
Well, not yet, but we...
Not even.
I looked up, by the way, the payroll.
Yeah.
The Marlins.
Yeah.
Everybody bitches on the Marlins. They sold up. They did sell off anything for pennies on the dollar.
Right.
They got no return for it.
Nothing.
The White Sox payroll is $19 million less than the Marlins. So don't, you know.
All right. You know what, though? That's apples and oranges, my friend.
It kind of is, because the White Sox, every trade they made, they got a boatload back.
And they got younger and cheaper.
Correct.
On all of those trades.
Right.
I mean, the Marlins had assets. They really had
people. They had major assets.
Christian Yelich.
Ozuna, Stanton. They traded away their whole outfield.
They did.
Right?
D. Gordon?
D. Gordon's gone. I mean, like, these guys are all... Can you... A little trivia question. Who's the highest paid player on the Marlins right now?
Are you related to them?
No.
Then I don't know.
Martin Prado.
That's right.
I believe is that is the correct answer.
I think you told me that during the draft.
I think I did.
I forgot.
That's right. But anyway, I digress. You're right. It is apples and oranges, but it goes back to the point of, okay, White Sox still sold off guys. Mm-hmm. Now, they've got a lot back for them. Don't get me wrong.
No, yeah.
But they sold off Sale. They sold off Quintana. They sold off Eaton.
But, A, you wanted to see Eaton gone.
I did.
Two.
Yes.
They got so much back for those guys that couldn't have done anything for this team this year.
Correct, right.
They really had to.
Right.
So, I mean, that was kind of a no-brainer for Rick Hahn.
Is there a lot of... I mean, yes, there are a lot of differences between the two.
Mm-hmm.
But in a way, there's not, because you're not putting the best team on the field you possibly can put. Either way, right? If you tank and your payroll shit, you're not putting your best foot forward in getting the best players to win for your team. And the same thing is with the White Sox. Now, I'm just kind of sort of playing devil's advocate in a way.
Right, right.
Like, I understand the difference.
Sure.
Between what the White Sox did and the Marlins did.
Yeah.
But it goes back to ownership. Should they be allowed to run? Do they have to always put their best foot forward and win now, whenever?
Mm-hmm.
Or can they just run their franchise as a business? Do you know what I mean? Like that kind of thing.
I do. And again, two schools of thought on that. And we go back to Kenny Williams, Mr. Hahn's predecessor, who hated young players. He felt that prospects were suspects.
That's right.
And he wanted to go for it every single year.
And
he hated the idea of rebuilding. In fact, he didn't understand the idea of rebuilding.
I somewhat applauded it only because I didn't think Kenny had it in him to do what Rick Hahn has done. Like, if you devalue your prospects, you have to go out and try to win every year.
Right.
Because you have no future. Like, yeah, there's no...
That gets a lot more expensive.
It does. And I think Jerry figured that out. And maybe, I think, you know, after... God, what season was that? 2015 or 16. Rick Hahn, I think they had a... There was probably a point where Rick Hahn got an offer to be the GM somewhere else.
Right.
It had to have been. And to keep him around, because they understand that he is a talented...
Well, in fact, I know it was because the Padres reached out to him.
Yeah.
Because Hoyer just came to the Cubs.
Right.
So that's what it was.
That's exactly what it was. So I'm sure Hahn had an offer from the Padres, from other teams. And he went to them and go, look, I don't want to leave. This is what I want to do. I think we can win, just not, like, we're going to have to suck for a few years, and maybe looking at the Cubs' blue plan kind of helped a little bit.
Right.
And justified it a little bit.
Sure.
Right. And he went, okay, if we get rid of some of our bigger assets and get a ton back, get 95 cents on the dollar back for these guys.
Right.
Which they did. In some cases, they got $2 for a dollar. And I mean, we can rebuild everything. And they had literally number 30.
It was laughable.
Their minor league system was a joke.
They had 40-year-old guys in there.
They had guys that, if you put them on any other team, literally any other team, wouldn't even be in the top 40 prospects.
They're driving the new carts out to take the pitchers.
Yeah,
out.
Man. Yeah. They're doing that. They're carrying other kids, whatever. Like, they're carrying bags or whatever they have to do. But then he went and he dealt Sale. That was the first key, right? And you got back Mankata, and you got back Basabe, and you got back.
You're going to save a lot on sewing up uniforms with that.
You are. You don't have to worry about some psycho cutting up uniforms. Then you got rid of Eaton for, I couldn't believe what they got back for Adam Eaton and Dane Dunning and Giolito and Ronaldo Lopez. Then you got rid of Quintana for the Cubs' best prospect, which I was shocked, and one of their best pitchers, also shocked.
But again, it's where you're at.
Right.
In the food chain. I mean, the Cubs needed one piece.
Right.
And they thought Quintana was that guy.
Do the Cubs win again without Quintana last year?
I don't know.
Maybe I don't know. Maybe not.
He's undervalued. We talked about that before.
Right. And he's their fourth starter this year, right? Didn't they announce it's Lester.
Yeah.
Darvish.
Yeah. Hendricks.
And then Quintana. That's correct. Crazy.
Although we looked at the WAR numbers and... What is he? Third?
Yeah.
Behind Kershaw.
Yeah.
And Ari. That wasn't Ari.
Kluber?
That was, yeah.
I think
that's right. Kluber. Kershaw, Kluber, Quintana.
And it's just because the guy just, he had no offense behind him.
Yeah.
He had nobody to score him runs.
Ever.
Never happened.
All right. Well, I knew we'd get back to Soxville. Let's just wrap. That's all right.
That's what I do.
Let's wrap up the NBA and call it a day. I just wanted to touch on the fact that the Grizzlies have 18 wins.
They do.
And it really looks like they're going to get the ping pong balls.
Yeah.
The Suns have 19 wins.
Yep.
And then there are five teams with 20.
Right.
The Bulls have 22 at this point. So for them to get warned seems a little weird, although...
And not warn the Grizzlies or not warn...
Yeah, but they may be that bad.
I mean, Memphis is that bad.
Right.
Right? Like, they could put their five best players on the court and still lose.
Correct.
I think the problem the league has is when you don't put your five best players on the court.
Right. Like, and the fact that there's like a healthy Holiday on the
Lopez,
bench.
Robin Lopez. I mean, yeah. These guys are perfectly healthy and can do this. Now, I heard some talk on the radio on the way in. Saturday coming down
the dial, Joe.
There's consideration of going to a wheel instead of ping pong balls, where everybody has an equal chance.
Really?
Yeah. That would eliminate tanking.
Right? Well, yeah.
Right?
Yeah. You know what? And this goes back to the conversation that we had where I think the whole thing's kind of rigged anyway. Yeah. Where the Knicks had the least amount of chance to get Ewing and they got him.
Right.
Bulls had the least amount of chance to get Rose. Right. They got him.
Yes.
I mean,
I don't know. All I know is this, that tanking is apparently a big issue in the NBA.
Yeah.
It's a lesser issue in the NHL. The Hawks are just bad. But
going back to running your business.
Right.
Should somebody be allowed to tell you that?
No.
I mean, if I want to tank and try to get the best pick every year and nobody comes to my stadium and I go bankrupt
that's on me. Right. Right. And then, but then it goes down to, okay, the league makes all this revenue
from TV.
Sure. It gets split equally.
Right.
Are you putting the best product that we can have on television?
The guy that's spending $100 million is looking at the guy spending 20 and going, hey. Hey.
Right, exactly.
A little something for the effort.
Exactly. Who would get a bowl of soup with that? Anyway. Yeah, exactly. It comes down to, the argument is, if you spent billions of dollars on a team, should you be allowed to run it any way you want?
I'm with that. And I never thought I'd say these words in my life, but the last comment I want to make is about the Marlins.
Yeah.
And that blueprint that you mentioned earlier.
Yeah.
It looks like they're going Kansas City, Oakland, as far as their blueprint.
Yeah. Yes.
As opposed to Cubs, Red Sox,
Astros,
Brewer.
Astros, White Sox, sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, the Astros and the Cubs are the darlings of the last 2 years because their plan worked.
Yeah.
Right? Like, they were bad for... And they told their fans, like, look, it's bleak now, but you have to have faith in us. It's going to turn around.
Right.
Now, Cubs fans are kind of a different breed. Completely, really?
No, really. No, like you said, yeah.
I'm not saying that to be derogatory. I'm just saying
No.
They're going to go, like...
And when you mentioned before teams tanking and people not showing up, I'm thinking to myself, really? No, everybody's going to show up all the time.
Right.
United Center, there were some dark years there for the Bulls.
There was some dark
years for the championship years. It showed something.
I remember scoring games for the Hawks for work, right?
Yeah.
Where the announced attendance was 9,000.
I've never been in a press box.
The place holds 22 plus every year, every game. It's either 21,900 or 22,000 people in that joint every night. They announce 9,000, and I call bullshit. They're 5,000 maybe, right? Like,
but
if you're bad,
it's tickets sold Chicago, though, Joe.
It is tickets sold,
and it's a lot of businesses in Chicago buying these tickets and giving them away to customers.
Yep.
And if the team's bad, the customer says, I'm going to stay home and watch Mike and Molly. I'm not going to watch the Hawks.
That's right.
Is that still on the air?
I think so. Have you ever watched the show?
I haven't.
It's awful.
All right, it's time to go then.
On that note.
Thanks so much for listening.
Yeah, we appreciate it, guys. Please give us feedback. We're on Facebook. Facebook.com/itsthatpod. Our website is www.itsthatpodcast.com. You can email us. Joe@itsthatpodcast.com or Jason@itsthatpodcast.com. We're on Twitter. I am at Triple Lindy's, TRIPLELINDYS. Jason is, I can't remember off the top of my head.
Jsleet at
Twitter.com. At Jsleet. is yours. So
you got it.
All right, man. So for all you cats, we will catch you next time on It's That Podcast. We hope you enjoyed it.
And we'll be on Apple soon.
We will be soon. We promise. As soon as we can figure it out, because we're dumb and old and bad. And all right. All right. We'll see you next time on It's That Podcast. I got you.